Hebrews chapter 4. Still preaching on the thought tonight of getting back to the basics. I think a lot of times as the children of God, as the church, we fail the basics a lot of times of what works. Getting saved, telling people that they need to get saved, knowing that you're saved, works. Being separated from the world works. You can't, no man can serve two masters, the Bible said in the book of Matthew. You'll either love one, hate the other, cleave to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I mean, there just ain't no way to do it. You can't have two masters. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the world, one or the other tonight. And so being separated, I truly believe, works for our Christian life and living holy for the Lord. But this morning we looked in Hebrews chapter 4, the last part of the chapter, last three verses, and started on this part of supplication and that of prayer. Now, if you really want to have something in your life that means anything and see God work, learn to pray. And I don't mean a 10-cent prayer. Well, I pulled out a penny. I was hoping it'd be a dime. A 10-cent prayer and wanting a $1 million answer sometimes, but learn to pray. And so tonight, look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Let's stand to our feet if we would. We'll reverence the reading of God's Word. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You can be seated tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help the one that might be here tonight that has a need. Somebody lost, save them. Somebody needs encouragement. I pray that encouragement would be found in you tonight, in your word. Give us unction from the Holy One, and we'll certainly give you the glory for it all. Help somebody, I pray, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked this morning and we talked about prayer, and first of all, in Jesus being our high priest that has went back to heaven, and he has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he knows what it means to be us. He understands your troubles and your trials. He understands your cares and your worry and your fear. He understands your temptation and everything that me and you are faced here today with. He understands that. And as the writer here in the book of Hebrews talks about that our great high priest is passed into heaven, and it is Jesus, the Son of God, he said, let us hold our profession. He is in heaven today. He is the one that saved us and is going to keep us. We can hold on to our profession. But then in verse 16, we see the same words again after he told us that Christ is just, you know, he knows about the feelings of our infirmities. He said, let us, just as sure as me and you can hold our profession, we can come to the throne of grace to find help and obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. He does know tonight. As we looked this morning, we looked about to tell him all our needs and listen to how that we're to pray from our heart and listen that we come and that we praise him and we intercede in that for others. And so we've seen what prayer was literally about. But tonight I want to see the part of prayer and that there is great power in prayer. I don't pray in that just hope alone and then don't think that God might answer that. Let me see how I can get this. I just don't say it in the open air and say, well, boy, I hope it happens, you know, like that right there. I'm doing what the writer said right here when he said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. And I'll be honest, that word bold means without fear and with confidence. When I pray tonight, church, I pray with confidence. I am believing that God heard my prayer. Now, He may not always answer my prayer in the way that I want Him to, but at least I am assured that He hears my prayer tonight. And if the child of God, if the Christian is to have power in our time of supplication and in our prayer, there's some things we're going to have to do. First of all, let me say that not only do we need to have praise involved, we looked at that this morning. You remember Hannah when she praised the Lord. I believe we need praise in our prayer. But He said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Can I tell you tonight that faith goes a long way in our prayer life? I mean, listen, we all know what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet the evidence of things not seen. I don't put blind faith in the Heavenly Father tonight. I don't put blind faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to the Lord tonight because, listen, when I prayed to Him that night at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and I come to Him and ask Him to save me, I believe He saved me and forgave me. Hey, something happened to me that night that I got saved. Something changed in me that the world could not change. There was a difference made in my life, and something happened to me. And so from that day forward, I've been trying to work on faith. Now, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't on up into, probably up into my early 20s. I'll just be honest with you. Until I got around Brother Randy Brandon and he challenged me and that to fall in love with this book and the God of this book. Listen, that's when things begin to change in my life. Oh, I saved. But listen, just when you really fall in love with Him, it'll change some things. Let me ask you something tonight. How many of us have ever prayed and seen God move? I'm not going to tell y'all nothing tonight that you all probably don't already know. But how many of you have ever prayed and seen God do something for you? I like to talk about that. When God does something for you, it changes your whole outlook in your faith. Now, listen, as I told you many times, when I was a young Christian, I believed that I could pray and seek God and find God simply because the Bible said so. And if there's no other reason to believe that, then believe it and trust His Word. But I'm telling you, when you put it into action and literally see God do something for you, that'll strengthen your faith tonight. It does mine. I don't know about you tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. It keeps making me want to go back and pray again. It keeps me wanting to go back and trust Him. There's been times that I've prayed and I said, Lord, I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. I don't understand things right here. I don't understand how I am, why I am, and how we've gotten where we are. But You've moved before, and I'm going to wait on You to move again. I've said that. Not necessarily verbatim, but that's the way it went. James chapter 1, as he's talking about asking for wisdom, he said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When we pray, we ask in faith tonight, don't we? I thought about the scripture that I read this morning, 2 Chronicles 20, when he said, oh, our God, you remember in 2 Chronicles 20, when them three companies is coming against King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah over there, and man, they don't know what to do. He's got everybody out there praying, got everybody fasting. I've got everybody doing to know what they know to do and seeking God. And by the way, if you go back and you look at that thing, take your Bible and go back over to 2 Chronicles. I didn't read this morning. I kind of skipped this part of it. But I want you to go back to 2 Chronicles 20 and look at this. It's some of my most favorite scripture in the Old Testament. It really is. I love to preach out of it. I have to be careful. I preach out of it all the time. But you know, right here, when Jehoshaphat is getting his people together right here, and he gets them all together, and he's standing out there before them, before the house of God there. And he says, "O Lord, our fathers," in verse 6, "art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name?" I believe he's just, I know he's, there's some question marks out there, and he's asking some questions, but I also believe that Jehoshaphat is bragging on the Lord right here. Lord, we know who you are. You are the God of our fathers. You're the one that called Abraham. You're the one that got us to where we are tonight. We understand that, Lord. But would you look at the place that we're in? I remember hearing Brother Buster Seaton preach on this over years ago. And I remember him saying God didn't have to be reminded who he was. But them people standing out there needed to be reminded of who God was. I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes me and you need to be reminded. You want power in your prayer life tonight, but just have faith when you pray. Look in verse 12. We go back to verse 12 there in 2 Chronicles 20. "O God, O our God, will not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. And neither know we what to do." Now notice what he said. "But our eyes are upon thee." Lord, we're going to wait on you to do something. We're putting our hope and our faith in you tonight, Lord, to do something. We can't do anything. Have you ever been there where you just told God and said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything right here. There's no hope in myself. But Lord, I'm going to trust you to guide me and direct me and teach me what to do." I believe tonight, friends, we'll just put our faith in the Lord Jesus. He'll help us tonight. When we pray, sometimes we get like that father over in Mark chapter 9 and verse 24 when he brought his boy over there to the Lord. And he said, if there's anything you can do, he said, would you have compassion on us and help us? And you know what the Lord told him? He said, I'll do it. But he said straightway the father of the chase, if thou wilt believe. He said, if you'll just believe. You know what that father said? He said, as he began to cry out, the Bible said, and with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Don't that seem kind of like a contradictory statement or an oxymoron tonight? He said, Lord, I believe, but just help my unbelief. Oh, we believe God could save us tonight, but can... You know, we put our eternity in His hands. Why can't we put our mortality in His hands tonight? Think about that for just a second. We put our very eternity in His hands the night or day or whenever we got saved. You put eternity in it. Why can't we put our mortality in it? That'll preach on itself tonight. But faith. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust Him. Lord, I'm depending on you to get this done. I heard somebody say one time, we do what we can and God does what we can't do. I think that's a pretty good way to live. We'll do our part and then we'll let God do the part we can't do. I remember one fellow was looking for a job one time, and he began to pray about that thing, and he told me, he said, you know what I done? I began to get out and look for a job. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, if the Lord give me a job, I'd go to work. You're looking for one. Some people, they want to blame it on God a lot of times. I don't know how we got here. Boy, ain't it good tonight, amen? Hey, they want to blame God for a lot of things. Hey, listen tonight, sometimes me and you have got to put feet on the bottom of our faith and that to serve God tonight. We go do our part and then we depend on the Lord to do His part. We pray for God to save our neighbors. But when's the last time you witnessed to your neighbor? Something to think about, ain't it, tonight? But sometimes we need some help with our faith. We get little faith. Sometimes I get no faith. I'm like his disciples over there sometimes. He says, wherefore didst thou doubt? How is it that you have no faith? And I feel that way sometimes. But talking about having power in our prayer life tonight, as we approach the throne of grace and go boldly, we go boldly in faith tonight. But then we look that not only is there power by praying in faith, but then there comes the time of fasting and self-denial. Most people don't like to talk about fasting. But unless you're like, I listened to a preacher the other day, people that's overweight, he said, people that's overweight, they said, well, preacher, I just love to eat. And he said, you don't think I do? He said, everybody loves to eat. Some just love to eat more than others. Amen. But you know why fasting is so important to the Lord tonight in our prayer life? Because fasting is the one thing that we have control over that our life has to have to survive. I really believe that's why fasting is a big deal tonight. Listen, in Acts chapter 14, I'll show you that it goes together. Here Paul and Barnabas are, they're going through and they're setting some things right in some churches. It says, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 that He had just come off the Mount of Transfiguration. His disciples had had a boy brought to them that had a devil in him and they could not cast him out. And in Matthew chapter 17, then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You didn't have faith. You know why we miss it sometimes? Faith or unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. You know, when something gets real serious, let me ask you tonight, how many of you have ever prayed and God hadn't moved yet? And you really needed to see or wanted to see God move and do something. You just didn't know what to do. Did you ever try fasting? Talk about denying your body its literal food that it must have to survive. And you tell God, Lord, I'm going to spend my time in prayer instead of eating. Boy, we're shouting now, ain't we? Matthew chapter 6 in verse 17. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which seeth, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me back up here. Go back to verse 16. I missed this one. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You know how that power in your prayer life? Fast, son. I don't fast. You can look at me and tell you're a preacher's not fasting too much. Now shame on me. I'm gonna be honest with you tonight. We miss out on the Lord moving simply because we don't. I believe it's because we missed that part of it right there. You say, well, I don't have that big of a deal and a whole lot of things we need to pray for and all the, I'm going to tell you, there's going to come times, and maybe you put it to the test and know that it's true tonight. Maybe you fast and I don't. Maybe it's just me tonight. I don't know. Maybe you do fast. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to have power in our prayer life, we're going to have to fast. We're going to have to quit eating. Well, don't that just sound lovely tonight? I make light of it tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you, that's a serious thing. He said, when you do, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. He said, they disfigure their face and want everybody to know that they're fasting. He says, I'm telling you, wash your face. Just get up, go about your life like everything's okay. And he said, your Father will see you in secret. And he'll reward you openly. I think tonight, if we're going to have power in our prayer life, we're going to have to pray in faith. But we're going to have to fast with it tonight. We need to be diligent in our prayer life and in our supplication. We come back to Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. That word diligent means steadily applied. That means we stay after it. The book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul said, continue in prayer. And what's the same with thanksgiving? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, pray without ceasing. In Acts chapter 12, we find that the church was over there praying for Peter, and they prayed all night. I would call that being diligent in your prayer life. The last time we stayed up all night praying. Been a long time since I've done that. I tell my wife, I said, I've been in my study many nights praying, and I kneel a lot of times at my study chair. That's where I'll pray. I'll get out of my chair, turn around, and use it as a place to pray. And there's been many nights I've woke up on my knees with my head laid up on that chair. I wasn't doing much good if I was asleep. I feel like Peter. Could you not watch with me for an hour, he said. But being diligent. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talked about that thorn that he had in his flesh. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He just didn't pray one time, did he? He talked to the Lord more than once. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 18. Well, it's getting quiet in here. I'm talking about having power in our prayer life. You know why them old timers had power with God? They knew how to pray. And it wasn't the words they used. It was they knew how to pray. They knew how to place their faith in the Heavenly Father and in His Son. They knew how to fast and they knew how to be diligent and to have a time of prayer. Do you know there's nothing wrong with having a time of prayer? Not a thing wrong with having a time of prayer. As a matter of fact, the Israelites, they had a time of prayer. The Jews had a time of prayer. But I want you to look in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now keep that in your mind as we read. Say, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect and cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I believe right here that we learn, one of the things that we learn is he said that men always ought to pray and not to faint. And then we find the parable of the unjust judge and a widow woman that she come to him and continually come to him. And in verse 5, he said she's going to come to me and continual coming she will weary me. He said, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Will God not move and answer when we stay after him? Listen tonight. As I said this morning, I understand that God may not always have it in his will. And I'm going to deal with this here in a minute for what we're asking for. But until he tells me no, I'm going to keep praying. Until I find out that I'm out of will of God for praying that way, I'm going to keep praying. If you want power tonight in your prayer life, then me and you have got to be diligent in it and stay after it and pray. Take time to pray. Get along. Go outside. Find a place in the woods. I drive down the road. Find somewhere that you can get along with God and spend time with. But then we find number 3, not only is there power in our prayer, but what is the hindrances in our prayer life? We go back to one that we already said, it is a lack of faith a lot of times, or sometimes. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing waver, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When we lack faith. When sin has crept into our life, an unconfessed sin. I don't know your life. I'll be honest with you. I really don't know your life tonight. And you say, well, people, it's going to pray. There's probably not unconfessed sin. And you never know what's in somebody's life and what they're trying to do. Sometimes there's some hard feelings. There's some bitterness. Some malice that needs to be taken care of. I'll be honest with you, there's bitterness and stuff in there. I don't think God's going to hear and answer our prayers tonight. Because David said in Psalm 66, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In Isaiah chapter 1, the children of Israel, they're sinning on God. They turned their back on Him. And when you spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah 59, he told them this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is your heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. There's hindrances in our prayer life tonight when sin is there. We can excuse our sin, but God will not do that. We can cover our sin, but God will not hide it for us. I think about a preacher friend of mine who was pastoring his church. And I know I've told you this. And yet he was cheating on his wife at the same time that he was pastoring his church. And I ain't talking about something that happened one time. I'm talking about something that went on for 4 to 5 years. Reckon how he was doing that. He told me, he said, I'd compartmentalize and shove things off to one side and try to forget them. We can compartmentalize all we want to, but I'm going to tell you tonight that if we regard iniquity, if we don't deal with our sin, God's not going to hear our prayer. The heavens become as brass, you know, and it just bounces off of them. If you want power in your prayer life tonight, then we've got to make sure that there's no sin there. There's going to be hindrance in our prayer life with sin. Sometimes it is simply, there's hindrances there when we just ask wrong. He said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. You know, that word amiss is talking about you just asking wrong. Let me put it to you another way. 1 John put it like this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Little John said that. He said, if we ask this thing according to His will, He heareth us. Now I'm going to show you something. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 8. I ain't going to deal with this tonight. I will deal with this portion of Scripture in this series. But look in Romans chapter 8 as it's talking about the Holy Spirit praying for us. Now he talks about if we're going to pray, we need to pray according to the will of God. You want God to move? Pray according to His will. Look in Romans 8 verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. And look what your Bible says, according to the will of God. You know, when the Holy Spirit does His part, He's going to do it to the will of God tonight. And I honestly believe that if we're praying out of the will of God and we're serious in our prayer life, now, I believe He'll tell us. Don't need to be praying that way. Hindrances in our prayer life when we ask wrong and not according to His will. As I close tonight, it may be simply that God had other plans. And what I mean by that is I thought about this message and prayed over it. And take your Bible and go to John chapter 11. You say, I'm praying, but yet God ain't answering. Look in John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Alright, so there's the petition. The Lord, the one you love, is sick. And when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Now I want you to pay attention to verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. Did you catch that? Now I want you to understand that tonight as I get ready to read this very next verse. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Mary and Martha send word to Jesus and say, Lord, the one you love, Lazarus, he's sick. Matter of fact, if you'll just read right on down through here, they come to him there at one time and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But in verse 6, he decided to stay where he was for 2 days. Imagine how that made Mary and Martha feel. Knowing that Jesus was just a little piece away, but yet he didn't come. Think about that. Think that thing through for just a second. I want to ask you something. And we never think about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But reckon that broke the Lord's heart to stay where He was for 2 days. Because He knew the pain that Mary and Martha was going to face in them 4 days that their brother Lazarus was going to be dead. Reckon His heart broke also. We know that when He came out there to the tomb, the Bible said that He wept, you know. But Jesus said in verse 4, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus was going to let him die, but yet he was going to go out there two more in 4 days after he's been in the ground for 4 days, and he's going to raise him from the dead. Sometimes God don't answer our prayers or do things the way that we want Him to do them simply because He's got something bigger in mind that He would get the glory out of. There's a good message there in just that itself. But how many of us have been like Mary and Martha and said, Lord, if You would have just come, if You would have just answered my prayer when I called out, if You would have just moved when I asked You to move, Lord, I'm trying to be pure from sin, I'm trying to pray in faith, I'm trying to do what You've told me to do, but yet You've not moved. As a matter of fact, this was the same Mary that come over to the Lord and took that ointment and wiped His feet with it, with her hair. She loved the Lord. If anybody loved the Lord, it was Mary. Remember, that was the same Mary and Martha. That Martha was coming about with much serving, but yet Mary had chosen the good part, which was to be at His feet. Have you ever been there when it just seemed like that God had delayed in His answering? Psalms chapter 69, David said, I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for the Lord. He was waiting on Him, but he was weeping and crying while he was waiting on God, wanting God to move, and see God to move. You can go look in Psalms chapter 42 when David talked about how that as the heart panteth after water, so does my soul after God, you know. Go over and look, Psalms 42. As the heart panteth, verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is Thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. David said, I've done everything that I need to do. I've went to the house of God. I've kept the holy day like I was supposed to keep it, but yet I can't find God. You ever felt like that? You know everything that you're doing is you're trying to do everything as right as you know to do it, but yet you can't find that warm, fuzzy feeling that you need. And so David asked the question in verse 5, what art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. David said, he said, I'll praise Him for the help of His countenance. So He's going to come by one day. May not be today, but He's going to come by. He's going to help me. I'll praise Him. He said, why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down? He said, hope in the Lord. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan unto the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, and the noise of the waters flies all Thy ways, and Thy billows are gone over. Man, I'm telling you, he was just overflowed and out with whatever was against him. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. He said, I'll keep praying. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? And why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You see the psalmist right here? He's up and he's down. And he's up and he's down. He knows what he said. I'll say unto God my rock. He said, God is my rock. That's who I'm founded on. That's who I'm living on. That's who I've got all my trust and my hope and my faith in. But he said, I'm going to ask him, why'd you forget me? I don't know any other way to read that. He said, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Oh, if God was real, wouldn't he come by and help you? Then we see the same thing that just about that we've seen in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, he said in the prior verse, he said, he'll help me with his countenance. He'll come by. But at the end of it all, you know what he'll do? He'll help my countenance. He'll change my countenance. Notice what he said. He said, I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. You know, his countenance coming by will help our countenance change tonight. Sometimes in our prayer life, it's not a hindrance when our prayer does not get answered. It's that God has got different plans. And God wants us to just depend and look to Him and wait on Him tonight. But don't quit praying. Don't give up. And just keep going and keep talking to the Lord. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would.